Welcome to the Be More Real podcast. I am your host, Sam Altieri, and I am a former architect turned health and lifestyle entrepreneur. I am obsessed with personal development, manifestation, health healing, feminine empowerment, and self-love. My superpower is helping you conquer unwanted food, body, or sabotaging patterns that are holding you back from the life you want. Because I believe that you deserve to be confident in your skin and step into your power in your work, in your relationships, in your life. I use my background in psychology, mind, body, nutrition, and design to help you transform your relationship with food, your body, and most importantly, yourself. I am so excited for you to be your real, authentic self and step into your full potential now that you don't have any of that stuff holding you back. From one badass to another, I love you so much. I'm so grateful you're here. Now let's go dive into the episode.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Welcome back, you guys. I am so stoked for this week's episode. I have a beautiful human looking at me right now. Her name is Emma Rawlinson, and she is amazing. She is a London-based transformational health and life coach. And she does something very similar to me. She helps women love themselves, which is a really big task. but I know that as we dive into the episode, she's going to share a little bit about her story and how she reclaimed her own personal power and became an authority and stepped into her potential. And as she continues to do that, and I'm so excited to have her on. We met in our mutual coaches, Mel Wells Mastermind, and she's in London. I'm in Boston, but we have such similar stories. And I wanted to bring her on to share all the things and talk about loving ourselves and, like, you know, just stepping into our potential. So welcome, Emma. So stoked you're here.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited.
So before we dig in, I would love to just have you talk a little bit about yourself, what's been happening lately for you, what, you know, anything that's just kind of like fresh and new off the bat in your brain. I think we can be so in the like zoom out of like, okay, here's my story, but I kind of like going like, what's going on right now, and then we can zoom in and talk a little bit about where you are and where you're at.
Yeah, love that. So as you said, I am transformational health and life coach, and I really work with women who want to become the lead authority in their health and life. They have, you know, big goals, big dreams, big desires, and they know that they're worthy of that, but they just don't quite have maybe the self-belief or the tools to get there. So that's the kind of woman that I'm really passionate about working with. And what's going on for me right now, I'm just going to be really honest here, like as we were speaking about earlier. So I am in a position where I am kind of transitioning in my coaching. So I was a personal trainer, nutrition coach, online coach, and now obviously I've moved into this transformational health and life coaching space, and it's fucking hard. You know, like a lot of my friends and, like, you know, loved ones ask me like, oh, you're killing it, like how's it going, it looks like it's going amazing. And don't get me wrong, like it is so amazing. I feel so much more on purpose, I feel so aligned with, you know, my vision and the impact that I want to make in for women and, like, on a bigger scale, obviously for the planet. But yeah, it's fucking hard. And I've been in a situation the last couple of weeks where I'm kind of, I guess, in a little bit of a place of stuckness where I feel like I'm doing all the things and I'm loving it, but I'm not moving. I'm kind of stuck in this weird time warp where everything's standing still, and I don't know if people are getting my message or I feel like that's a bit of a ramble, but, you know.
Yeah, I have been there for sure. And I think, like, I'm sure that the woman listening right now can relate. A lot of women that listen are, if they're not already business owners or leaders or coaches, they may aspire to be, or they have something up their sleeve. They're ready to birth something into the world. And I think that that feeling of stuckness or like lack of clarity can be so like, it can just close us off to continuing to create or continuing to show up because it doesn't feel good. It's like, oh God, all I want to do is curl up into a ball and die. Like,
that's literally what it is. I'm like, I want to scream and I want to shout, but at the same time, I feel like I can't freaking breathe.
Yeah. Yo, I 100% vote that you and anyone that's listening that's stuck does that. Like releasing, screaming, getting that shit out. Like, because I think, like, I'll just share from personal experience, I was there for like all of 2020. Like, that was the biggest like problem for me. I couldn't figure it out, air quotes, like, and I was literally doing everything. Like, I feel like to the point where I was so burnt out and just so fucking tired. And I was like, am I even meant to be an entrepreneur? Like, what the fuck? Like, who am I even helping? What the fuck am I even doing? Right. It's like, somehow I'm making money, but it just doesn't, like, something feels off. Like, I feel like I'm trying so hard. And genuinely, one of the biggest tools that I think helped me was actually like releasing the stickiness, like screaming, punching shit, boxing, a lot of the like energy release. Like, I had so much stuck shit in my body and it was like, I gotta get it out. How do I clear all the stickiness that was living inside of my body that made me feel trapped? Like, does that resonate for you?
Totally. And you know, that's why I feel so passionate about embodiment. And you know, it's actually, I say, a relatively new concept to me, probably only in the last like 18 months. Because you know, I used to be someone who was completely in my head, completely, like, and you know, if I ever felt anything, it was like, that's just a feeling. That doesn't mean anything. That's just a feeling. I was completely up here and I was completely disconnected from my body. It was like my head and my body were a completely separate thing. And it wasn't actually until I lost my dad, which was in 2019, when I actually realized, like, I am completely disconnected from my emotions. I am numb from everything.
Wow. Oh my gosh. How did you even like acknowledge that that was the case? Like, I think a lot of women go through their almost entire life being disassociated, being disembodied, not like being in their head 24/7. I didn't know that there was another way to live other than that until probably the past few years. Mm-hmm. But like, what was your like awakening point of realizing that, holy shit, there's another option for me here?
So I forgot him. You know, he passed away. He was sick. And we knew that he was going to die, but the way that he passed was very sudden. And within a few months of him passing, I just forgot him. I couldn't remember his voice. I couldn't remember really anything about him. And, you know, me and my dad were always super close. Like, I mean, I'm closer to my mom in the sense that we chat more and stuff, but like, I was a daddy's girl. Like, I've always been a daddy's girl. So to forget him, I was like, how can I just forget him? And all I could remember was like the really shitty stuff, like when he was really ill and like the really kind of like the trauma of it, but I couldn't remember him. And that, yeah, that was really like where I realized that I was just so numb to myself and my feelings. And I was like, I've got to sort this shit out. You know, like, I was overtraining to try and just kind of block out feeling anything. I was like doing CrossFit and I was doing HIIT and I was going spinning and I was doing all the things. And yeah, I just completely forgot him. And that was when I was like, okay, this is not right. I'm not having this. I am not forgetting my dad, who I love so much. And he only passed like a few months prior to this. Yeah. So yeah, that was the turning point for me. And that's when I really started to do, you know, air quotes, the work.
Mm-hmm. Wow. First of all, I just want to say, sending you so much love. That is like, you know, no words, but it takes such a strong woman to get through that and to be able to speak about it. And so I just want to send you a lot of love and support. And also acknowledge, like, despite being in grief, that you just had that much self-awareness, right? And that you were able to kind of like to zoom out and notice that you were in fact not exercising to celebrate your body or for health or whatever, but to numb. Like, I can relate to that so hard. And I just had no idea that that's what I was doing until it got taken away from me in COVID.
Yeah, I mean, it's such a common thing though, right? Like, even though I'm not a personal trainer anymore, like, I'm still super passionate about the power of movement and the power of moving your body and celebrating your body for everything it can do. But I think we can get so wrapped up in kind of that push, go hard, masculine energy when it comes to exercising and training.
Yeah, I went through a very similar cycle with lifting. Like, I did powerlifting for a while, and you know, I started off just like lifting weights for fun, and then I got really into it and I was like obsessed with being lean, and then did powerlifting and got obsessed with being strong, like to the point where like my body was literally, it felt like an 80-year-old woman. Like, I don't know if you can relate when you were doing CrossFit or like HIIT 24/7, but I was like getting injured. My body was screaming at me, wasn't listening. And I was like, oh my God, like, I should be able to like work out 7 days a week and be fine, right? Like, I was like, I'm so capable. Meanwhile, my body's like, bitch, no. And it, like, I dislocated my lumbar spine 3 times. It took me 3 times of fucking up my back to like get it through my head that was like, this does not mean anything, Sam, other than your body needs some rest. Your body needs some chill. Like, going hard 6 days a week, just because that's what your favorite influencer does not mean that that's what you should be doing. And I was totally in that comparison because I was like so obsessed with these like super hyper fit model looking athletes who that was their job. But I like didn't know that like, I couldn't do that, you know, without there being a serious, you know, consequences.
Yeah. Wow. What did you say? You dislocated your lumbar spine 3 times. Wow. I mean, I feel like the body will send us signals in very mysterious ways or very obvious ways. sometimes we still don't fucking listen. I resonate with that a lot. I mean, touch wood, I've never had any crazy injuries, but I did bodybuilding. So that's kind of where my obsession from training came from. Like, I decided to do bodybuilding. And the reason why I did it, because I was like, this is going to help me love my body if I do these bodybuilding shows. And, you know, needless to say, it did quite the opposite. But I love what you said about, you know, your body was just screaming at you when you weren't listening, because this is the exact same thing that was happening to me. And not just when I did bodybuilding, you know, that's kind of when it started. Like, I got totally obsessed with, yeah, being lean. And I thought the leaner I got, the more I would like love my body. And it's like, if I can just hate myself into loving myself, then everything will be okay. Then I'll be happy, you know? And, you know, this pattern of training, of like punishing my body, carried on. And it was, yeah, it was definitely still very much there when I lost my dad. It was kind of like, yeah, I was overtraining in CrossFit and my body was screaming at me for rest. You know, I would pick up like, I don't know, a 12 kilo kettlebell to warm up and it would feel like 50 kilos because my body was just exhausted. But I was like, no, you're weak. You have to keep going.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God. Yes. That like hits me in the feels so hard. I like, it's crazy too, when we, we develop this like crazy tolerance for doing a lot, like when we're doing right, like we're doing all the things. And this could be, I think this also relates to like work. It's like we're working so much, we're like work, and then something happens and you can't. So like say you can't work out or you can't work, and then you try to go back and do the intense thing again and you're like, what, how did I do that? Like, yeah. No. Right. Like right now I work out like 3 times a week and, you know, I'm always dancing, but the thought of lifting or even doing HIIT classes is like nauseating to me. My body is like, girl, no, been there, done that, didn't serve you.
Yes. I'm exactly the same. You know, when I used to teach, I used to sometimes teach like 6 classes a day. So teach them, and then I would do my own training. So I'd do like some lifting and then maybe I'd jump into a class. And you know, I've moved away from that now, and I'm like, how the fuck did I ever do that? And I'm like, body, I'm so sorry, like, you poor thing.
Yeah, oh my god, I think that like what you just did, like, you guys, if you're not watching YouTube and you're just watching the podcast, like Emma's like literally hugging herself, and that is, I honestly feel like that was the turning point for me, is actually realizing that the exercise that I was doing, it started off innocently. I don't know about you. Like, I didn't start off to be like hyper fucking obsessive or like restrictive or anything like that. It just turned into that because of being in like the fitness and health space, which is very disordered, but I didn't know it at the time. And it very quickly turned into this like obsession with exercise and eating disorder, and it really messed up relationship with my body. And I think the coming home to myself and loving myself was that wake up moment of, oh my gosh, my body has literally gone through a laundry list of stuff and it's still here for me. Like, it's still alive. It's still functioning. I may have injured it. I may have lost my period. I may have fucked up my hormones, but it's still here. Like, it can heal and it deserves to be loved. Like, it's not a punching bag. Like, it's not this thing that we get to practice dominion over or restrict or punish. Even though I know for me, that's kind of like how I grew up getting disciplined. So I think that's how I disciplined my body. And I was just like, no, that's not how we, no. And I think like tapping into that inner child and treating my body like my inner child, like, no, she's been here for me. You're amazing. You're amazing.
I love that so much. And, you know, it's like when we're at war with ourselves, there's only one person who loses, right?
Yes, that's going to be the quote for the episode.
But you know, it's like you've tried fighting against your body and that doesn't work. Yeah. So there must be another way.
Yeah. And I like, that's why you're here. Like, yeah. That's why we're here. And I would love to hear, now that you're not in that place, like, what does not being at war with your body, what does loving your body, what does all the things that you talk about and you coach about, what does that look like for you? How, like, take us through like a day in your life, or take us through the conversations that you have with your body, or the way that you are in relationship with food or exercise or anything else that is different than that past version of you.
I think the main thing that's different for me is that I actually check in with my body. I check in with my body first and foremost before anything else. You know, I wake up in the morning, what does my body need today? You know, maybe working out is part of my morning routine. Like, my morning routine will kind of ebb and flow with kind of the different seasons of my life, if you like. It depends how I'm feeling. Mm-hmm. And maybe working out is part of that. But if I wake up in the morning and, you know, my body is not feeling that, I honor that. Whereas before, you know, I would be in my head and be like, no, you have to work out. It's 7 a.m. This is when you work out. But if that's not what my body needs, then I can honor that, and I can ignore, you know, those thoughts in my head that are telling me what I should do and what I have to do. Because ultimately, coming from that place of should and have to is coming from my ego, not from my higher self, not from my intuition. So really what's changed the most for me is letting my body lead, letting my intuition lead, letting my higher self lead. And that will be in kind of anything that I do, from like what I want to eat, when I want to eat, how I want to show up online that day, like what I really want to focus my attention on. Like, yes, of course, I might have a general outline of my working week, like for my business, like Mondays is this, Tuesday is content, Wednesday is clients, whatever it may be. But I will always check in with my intuition. And if she's telling me that something else needs to take priority, then I honor that. And that is something that is so, so different from me 18 months ago. I didn't know what a fucking intuition was. I was like, what is that? I don't have that.
I feel you so hard. Oh my God, it's so funny. But it's you guys, like, it's such a testament to how quickly your life can change, right? With the right tools. And it's like, I would even be tempted to say, for me, it was like January of 2020. So what is that? 12 plus 3, 15 months. That's not that much time. And I didn't even know what I was doing, right? It's like, now we know, it's like, oh, we can help, you know, you can help somebody connect their intuition probably in like a week. It's like, it's actually not, I don't want to say it's not that hard, but once you know what to look for, you can empower yourself to go within. It's like, you know, that, have you ever heard that quote? It's like, you pay a plumber for him to know which bolt to tighten. Like, yeah. Because if I tried to go fix the toilet, I would like, that was what would happen.
No, it's true. And the thing with your intuition is like, a lot of questions that I get asked from clients who are kind of quite new to this stuff, like if it doesn't come in words, then how do I know that it's there? Like, how do I feel it? And it's like, it's that first initial lean in and trust, like, I'm feeling something here. I don't quite know what it is. I can't explain it, but I'm going to trust it just this once. And then once you start to recognize how it feels and how it shows up for you, then it becomes louder. Like, you know, like, I'm sure people listening will be familiar with people saying that intuition like comes like a whisper, or it's like a hit, it's a ping. But I do truly believe it becomes louder, and it grows louder and louder and stronger the more you pay attention to it.
Yeah. Yeah. What does your intuition like do, like sound like, ping you? Like, what's the, if you were to describe the feeling or the words or however you like to talk about it, like, what is that like for you? I'm so curious.
It's funny. It's so hard to explain.
That's why I love this question.
I'm like, explain it now. Like, what would my intuition say in this moment? Yeah.
Explain the unexplainable, Emma.
It feels almost kind of like a little kind of flutter in my belly. That's how it shows up for me. But it's very certain, like it's a yes or it's a no. And I'm sure of that, but it doesn't come as like yes or no. It's like just this, it's so hard to explain. It is like this kind of fluttery feeling. Do you know what I mean? I don't know how it shows up for you, but that's, it's, when I say it out loud, it's like, so you mean butterflies? But I don't mean butterflies. I don't mean that. Like, I feel like it's so individual to the person as well, because, you know, I've spoken, when I've worked with clients, I've been like, you know, how is your intuition showing up for you right now? Like, what are you feeling? And they'll have like, you know, words come to them, or they'll have like a physical sensation, maybe like a burning feeling in their chest, something like that. But for me, it's just kind of like a little flutter, like, oh yeah, you should do this. Oh no, don't do that, Emma. That's not going to work out for you.
Yeah, that is super interesting, the butterflies thing. I think for me, my intuition is like, when it's a full body yes, I have goosebumps. Like I have them right now as I'm saying it. It's so yeah. cool. My entire body feels like it's actually vibrating. It's very mm-hmm. like I feel like I'm almost getting like light is literally pouring in through my head, but I'm like all lit up. And the no actually is more like yes takes me longer to come to. No is more immediate. The no for me feels like icky. That's the only word I can say is like slime or like I just saw vomit. Like that's the like, ugh. You know, like I'm almost like, I don't know. Ugh. Like it's that feeling of ick. The yes is like, it feels warm. It feels expansive. And it's like, it takes me a little while to drop into the yes. And I don't know if that's like my, I don't know how, are you familiar with human design?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I'm a manifesting generator and like, okay, cool. So it's like, it takes us time to respond.
Yeah.
And sometimes my premature yes can just be an impulsive thing. So it's like sitting with it and feeling with it. And like, I think often when I just close my eyes and like imagine it, it's very obvious. Like, does my heart feel expansive? Yes. Okay. Does it feel icky? Then it's a no. And it's pretty quick, but I think the no for me is more obvious of like, nope, something feels off. Like, I don't know what it is. Something feels off. This actually just happened. Kurt and I have been doing a van hunting. We're going to be starting van life in a few months.
Love that.
Yeah. And we saw two buses. We were thinking about going like bus route. And the first one, I got this really very obvious, like, no, like it was like uncomfortable. I was like, it was cool. We could have done it, but I was like, no, there's something better. And within like 24 hours, we got told that they had already sold it. And like, Kurt was upset. He's like, fuck, we missed out. And I was like, no, that was not the thing we needed. And he was like, okay, whatever. And then we did it again. Same thing happened. And I was like, I don't know. Like, yes, but I don't know. And then both of us were like, fuck it. We actually want a bougie ass van. Like, this is what we want. And my heart was like, ah! Like, it felt like, oh my God, I had been denying that of myself. Like, of course that's what I want. Of course I want a fucking duped out bougie brand new Mercedes Sprinter van. Of course that's what I want and what I deserve. Like, and that was the expansion and like the heart open. And then Kurt and I talked about it and we were both like, yep, that's what we want. It doesn't make sense logically or financially, but that's what we want.
I mean, intuition does not have to make logical sense. That's yep. the amazing thing about it. But I think it's like a silent but persistent inclination.
Yeah.
So it's silent but persistent if it's a no. It's like, no, you shouldn't do this. No, you definitely shouldn't do this. Still a no. But then with the yes, it's kind of the same thing. But I actually just tapped into this when I thought about it. I get quite like, I have it now. I get quite shaky. Like if I feel like it's a really kind of fuck yes, like a full embodied yes, and I'm really excited about it. I feel like sort of quivery, like kind of jittery, excited. Like, do you know what I mean?
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. I do too. Actually, that's what happened when... When else did this happen for me? I'm curious to hear what happened when it happens for you too, like the last full body yes. Actually, when I met Kurt, I asked him out and I asked him to go to like coffee or something with me. And he looked into my soul, Emma, and was like, yeah. And I was like, what the fuck was that? It was so intense. Like my entire body was just like, ugh. Like it was excited, but also like he just looked into the depths of your soul and he's your person. But like I couldn't put words to that then. And anytime I explain it, like I have so many goosebumps right now. Anytime I explain that, I'm like, whoa, that was my body knowing mm-hmm. way before my logical mind was ever like, he's a good mate.
Oh my God, I love that so much. And it's actually so similar to how I met Josh.
Really?
So yeah, like he, well, we met in a gym. We're both personal trainers. We both met in a gym. And he asked me out and I wasn't really sure if I liked him. Like in my head, like I was kind of like done with dating for a while. Just wanted to focus on me, you know, the stories we tell ourselves. And I was like getting ready for this date and I was staying with my mom. She was like, "Are you excited?" And I was like, I don't know if I really like him, but it'll be nice. It'll be fun. We'll see what happens. And we went to, do you have TGI Fridays in America? It's like, yeah. It is an American thing, yeah. So we went to a TGI Fridays.
That is so funny.
And yeah, we sat down at the table and we didn't say anything. Like we just sat down and he looked at me and I was like, holy fucking shit, I love him.
Oh my God.
I love this man. Like we were kind of like, you know, friendly before. Mm-hmm. But I was not sexually attracted to him in any kind of way, but I sat in front of him at TGI Fridays and was like, I love him. Like he's my soulmate. I felt like there was, you know, sometimes, well, everyone has done this, like throughout dating, you put a wall up, you're like, I'm gonna be this way to like make sure that this guy likes me. This is how I want to come across on this date. There was like nowhere to hide with Josh. I could not be anybody else but myself because I felt like he could see right through me.
Oh, that's so good. You guys, this is possible for you. If you are not in a relationship, like fucking don't settle. Like Kurt and I were just having this conversation. We were on a hike talking about this because I have a friend right now who's going through some stuff with her marriage and she's like, I rushed. I didn't listen to my intuition. I didn't listen to the pings. I didn't listen to myself. I was scared to be lonely. I was scared to be single forever. Like, whatever. She's like, and I just did it. And now I'm in this situation where I'm with someone who, like, what have I done? You know, this feeling of like, oh my gosh, I should have just trusted myself. And it like always comes back to that, doesn't it? It's like, trust yourself. Nobody knows what you need more than you. And if anyone in your life is telling you what you need, be scared. Like, be scared of those people. Those people don't know shit. I don't know anything. Emma doesn't know anything. I only know what's best for me. And it's like, take that power back into your hands. And I think that's probably something that we talk a lot about in our coaching too, is like, I am not your coach to tell you what to do. I can illuminate the path and I can show you your blind spots and I can share what's worked for me and give you the tools, but like you're your own healer, you're your own guru, you're your own like biggest supporter. And until you understand that you have all that power inside of you, it's going to feel like you are chasing and searching. And it's like coming home to that feeling of trusting and being like, oh my God, I can't hide. This is my person. Like, you got me.
Yeah, totally. And I just, yeah, I love that, like, saying, you know, how it comes up in coaching, because I think a lot of people can look at us as coaches, like, we're the experts. Like, no, like, you're the fucking expert. You are the expert. I'm not going to position myself as an expert to you because, yes, I can share, you know, my support and my guidance and, you know, the tools that I have to help you come home to yourself. But ultimately, you already know how to do all that. You already have all that within you. You're the fucking expert of your life. You just don't quite know it yet. And I'm here to show you that, to show you that you already have that power. You already have that magic inside of you. You just need to tap into it and kind of peel back the layer of your mind and get into your body to realize your kind of true aliveness and your true potential.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like unlearning, like one of my favorite things to talk about is like unlearning all of the bullshit and the stories and the ego and the fear and like all the things that society wants us to be or do or eat or whatever that like I fell victim to because I didn't know any better. Like I feel like I was so in that matrix of like hustle harder, do more, eat less, be skinny, don't speak up for yourself, and don't cause confrontation. And then like at a certain point last year, I was like, fuck all of that. I want to live my life, be happy, not work 24/7. Like, I know it's possible. I see these women doing it. And now I do it. Like, and now I'm embodying it. And it took time. Obviously, there's time, but it's like, you guys, like, it doesn't have to suck. It doesn't have to be hard. And it does not have to feel like painful to be in the body that feels really good for you or have a business that feels really good for you. It really doesn't, contrary to societal norm or, you know, the messaging and conditioning around how to be successful. You don't have to wake up at 4 a.m. and have a 12-hour morning routine. Like, mm-mm. No.
Literally, the thought of waking up at 4 a.m. makes me want to shoot myself in the head.
I know. Did you see Rachel Hollis's reel about that?
I did. I know there was a lot of talk about that.
Oh my gosh. Like, the whole thing about, I spoke up about it just because it was like, there were so many things wrong with it. But I think just one of the things relevant to our conversation is like, she's very much pushing that toxic masculine energy into the workplace of like, I get up at 4 a.m. Like, what time do you get up? It's like, that is not a leader at all. That's not how you lead. Right? You lead with intention and with love and with service and with example and by sharing stories. And there's so, like, it lead consciously. And it's like, when we lead from that wounded place, it shows up. Like, it shows up in how we speak and how in our energy.
Totally. And this is where, you know, we get caught up in our ego, because our ego is that kind of masculine, pushy, confident, assertive energy. And because of society and how we're conditioned to respond, we fucking love to respond to that, you know, confident, sassy bitch that's telling you exactly what you should and shouldn't do. So yeah, I totally agree. It's really important to come from this like conscious place, because yeah, I think leading from the masculine, this is when we get kind of confused to whether our intuition is talking or whether it's our ego, because our ego is that loud masculine energy, right?
Mm, yeah. How do you help your clients kind of wake up or like become conscious around this? How do you help them really start to embody more of the feminine and intuition?
A lot of practices in my one-to-one sessions, like embodiment practices, breath work, meditations, to actually really get them to tap into their body and tap into that higher future version of themselves, which I believe already exists. You know, there is a amazing, beautiful woman out there who's loving her body and living this full up, nourished life. And all she's doing is waiting for you to catch up with her. But if we're constantly in our head and, you know, being kind of run by that fear, we're never going to tap into our body and actually experience what that feels like. Like, I do a lot of work with my clients about where we go through an embodiment exercise. I'm sure you've done this before, kind of visualizing that future version of you and embodying that future version of you through all of the five senses. So, you know, what can you see, what can you hear, taste, touch, smell, you know, so you can actually really start to feel what this woman is like. And then you're like, I'm feeling this, like this woman is already me. I just need to take empowered action to catch her up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That phrase, be, do, have, I think I got that wrong for a long time. I'm not sure about you. I think a lot of it was like, oh, I have to, you know, I have to like work 8 hours a day and do all these things and then like work out for 2 hours a day and then blah, blah, blah. And instead it was like, no, who do I have to be like in order to have the thing I want? Like, for example, when I wanted a 6-figure business, I was like, who do I have to be? Like, I have to be someone that is outgoing and like reaches out to people, right? Talks about my thing, like invites people in, shares about it, shows up, blah, blah, blah. it wasn't enough to be like, oh, I really need this, you know, $1 million, this $100,000, whatever the thing is, and then just like sit there and want it. It's like, no, like who do you get to be in order to have that thing? So for you listening, if the thing that you're desiring is health and well-being and loving your body, how would that version of you be talking to herself, be acting? It's like, close your eyes and imagine. It's such a simple exercise, but the first time I did it, I don't know about you, I was like, whoa, it just got me like there so quick. And it was almost like a lot of my bad habits like fell away. Like I was like, that's not what she would be doing. That's not how she would be talking to herself. That's not how she would take care of herself. That's not how she would be eating, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. No, I feel that it's kind of like phasing things in to phase things out. And, you know, we're going to do what feels the most pleasurable for us. And if we're wanting to get to this future version of ourselves, that's, let's say, for example, loving her body, has an amazing relationship with food, is that version of you going to be, you know, skipping out on lunch because she's hustling hard at work and thinks that she doesn't deserve to eat? No, she's not going to do that.
Yeah.
She's going to prioritize her meal and she's going to choose something that's going to make her feel nourished and energized.
Yeah.
Because that's just who she is, you know?
Right. Yeah, exactly. That's such a powerful example. It's definitely one that I see so many women just being like, oh, I forgot to eat. And it's like, no, like I've been there for sure. But yeah. Actually, I was in the opposite boat. I don't know about you. I was in the like, no, I'm in a binge eat during the day to like, cause I was working from home, you know, and this is when I had started my business. And I was like, no, like I would eat, but I would eat to distract, or I would eat to avoid, or I would eat to procrastinate. And it was the opposite for me. Like, but then I would miss other meals. So it's like I was so ignoring the signs. I was ignoring my body. Like I wasn't hungry, but I was eating, right? Mm-hmm. Or I was hungry and I wouldn't be eating. And I was living in my head and not in my gut.
Yeah. I mean, I've done both. I've done both of those things. I've gone through a period of binge eating, which was very much, you know, secretive. I would do it in private. This is when I was living with housemates before mm-hmm. I moved to London. And, you know, I would wait till everybody had gone to bed and I'd order like a shitload of takeaway and I'd like sneak downstairs and then run up to my room and I'd like hide all the rubbish in my room and wait till they'd all gone out. So then I could like throw it in the bin so they'd never yes. know I had it. So I've been there with that. And that was kind of off the back of depriving myself of food that I enjoyed for so long to get lean for a bodybuilding show. But, you know, I've also been the hustler who's been like, I don't have time to eat. I'll have a quick breakfast and then I'll have dinner at like 9 p.m. at night because, you know, I don't have time because, you know, I got to make money. But really what we're doing is we're denying our appetite. We're essentially crossing a boundary, right? Yeah. Our body is signaling to us that she's hungry, she needs nourishment, and we're saying, no, you don't deserve that.
Right.
Something out there is more important.
Mm-hmm. And what's nuts, I don't know if this like resonates for you, but as soon as I started taking care of myself, I started noticing my relationships, my business, my bank account, like all those external things that I wasn't working on. Like they were there and I cared about them, but that wasn't the thing I was like really focused on. I was just really focused on nourishing myself and filling my own cup up and giving myself pleasure. That was a big thing. Allowing mm-hmm. myself to eat the things I love or to play or to chill. My business fucking literally like was popping. Like my relationship was popping. Like, And yes, there's still the bad days and there's still the like off days and the low days. Like it doesn't mean that it just became perfect all of a sudden, but it was crazy. Like the exact opposite of what I thought would happen happened. Like I thought by not working, my business would crash, but instead by playing and like eating a lunch, like it ended up that because I was actually well and feeling good in my body, like anything I created and just my vibe was better. It was higher.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that so much. Cause it's like, if you're not taking care of yourself and prioritizing yourself before everything else is getting like a C or a D version of you. Mm-hmm. Whereas, you know, like you're passionate about your business. I'm passionate about my business. I'm passionate about my clients. But if I'm not taking care of myself and not showing up for myself, they're getting, yeah, like a D grade version of me. And that's going to feel fucking shit for them. And they're not going to get the most out of their sessions. And my business isn't going to thrive in the way it could because I'm not showing up for me. How can I show up for everything else if I can't even show up for myself?
Amen. Yo, we are A pluses. Like, stop degrading yourself to a D, F, C plus, any of that shit. Like, no, it's not okay. I think, like, we've been doing that our whole life. Like, stop. Just stop. Just stop that. Like, start to see that you are the most important thing in your life. And we get to reclaim that. And, like, we get to step into that. Like, and I think the responsibility part of it is, like, it can feel daunting or it can feel exciting. It can feel like you get to create the rest of your fucking life and you're not waiting for some Prince Charming or some business coach or whatever to come save you. It's like, yeah, like having support is great. And I always am having coaches and mentors and I believe so much in investing in yourself, but we get to do the work. Like, and you get to do the work because you deserve to do the work. Like, you deserve to be the A plus that you know you are deep down under all the layers.
We're all a fucking A plus.
Yes. The other quote of the podcast. Oh my God. Okay. So I want to hear, like, as we kind of wrap up, like, what do you do for fun? This is one of my favorite questions because I think as high achiever, like entrepreneurial women who want to do a lot in the world and make an impact, we can lose sight of the fun. And one of my mantras in business is the more fun I have, the more money I make. And like
one of my ones too. I love it.
And it's just so like, I'm like, yes, because when I'm fun, other people want to have fun and they just want to pay me to have more fun. And it's just yes. Fun. It's a fun fest. So the unconventional entrepreneur, but I don't care. It works for me, you know? What do you do for fun? Like, how do you, like, when are you in your, like, Emma vibe? Like, when are you just so, like, nothing matters? I love life.
Oh, my God. So many things for fun. I love dancing. And I'm not talking, like, sexy dancing. I'm talking, like, fucking crazy, throwing my arms around, crazy dancing.
Yes.
Yeah, so I love dancing. I love just, like, playing really stupid games with Josh, my partner. Like, we do this really fun game pretty much every night where, like, he'll be brushing his teeth and then I hide under the covers and try and make myself really flat so it looks like it looks like I'm not under the covers, but he knows I'm under there, and he'll come in and be like, oh, for fuck's sake, Emma's gone out again. And we play this whole drama scene as if, like, he thinks that I'm not there, and then I jump out at him, and it's just really fun.
That's adorable.
So we do lots of fun games together. So that's really fun. I'm playing with my dog as well. Mm-hmm. Love just playing with Clyde. He loves a fight. He loves a wrestle. So yeah, playing with him is another really fun thing I do. What else? I mean, just like reading, I love to read. I mean, reading is kind of like fun, but also how I sort of quiet myself and slow down. But I do love to read. I love to write. I love, what else? I love like a good binge watch of a good series as well.
Mm, yeah.
Like, you know, guilty as charged. Like I actually did this weekend. I needed a weekend off. I just needed 2 days where I was like, I'm going to completely surrender and do nothing. And I watched Outlander. I don't know if you've seen Outlander, but.
Oh, no, actually Kurt just started watching that.
Oh my God. I mean, in it for the sex scenes.
Yes.
That's literally like why I started watching it, because I heard on another podcast, I can't remember who was being interviewed or whose podcast it even was, but someone mentioned it and they talked about the sex scenes and I was like, there. Mm-hmm. So I just watched it all weekend and it was amazing.
In it for the sex scenes.
Yeah.
Love that. That's so fun. Yeah, I feel like I do a lot of the same stuff. I mean, I think like something that I do miss a lot is like wandering. Like, I don't know if you can relate to that, but I don't live in the city anymore. I mean, I don't live too far out, but I used to love just like wandering streets, like observing by myself or like people watching. I think that that's like one of the most satisfying things for me, because I am so intrigued about the person, like the human psyche, everything, like why people do the things they do and like all of that. So yeah, that has been a pastime that I've kind of missed, but anytime I'm in a city or like in a place with more people, I'm like, oh, this is nurturing my soul. I fucking love just watching humans be fucking weird.
I love that. I do the same. I love just going out on my own. Like, I mean, I love my own company. I'm such a hermit. But I do, I mean, we live fairly near central. It's pretty easy to get to central London from where we are in London. And yeah, sometimes I just get the tube and I just walk around and like, I'll be shopping, but I won't really be buying anything. I'm just walking, looking around. Yeah. Love it.
That's so fun. It's fun. Like, it's almost like the same thing as we were talking about with like your highest self. It's like imagining like the future version of you who's just like, I'm just walking into town and like paying for my car. Just getting that. Like, I'll take that and that and that. I love that so much. All right, before we wrap up, I would love to hear like what is something that the podcast name is Be More Real. What is something that makes you? Like, what is the quality or set of qualities that people are like, yo, Emma, you're blank. Like, what are those things for you?
For me, like, I mean, I guess maybe a lot of people have this, but I have a level of empathy where I just literally know what somebody's feeling before they've even spoken to me, before they've even like properly made eye contact with me. I've been told I'm a witch by like 3 different medium, side note.
What? You made it drop this bomb at the end?
I was like, I don't know if I should put that in there or not, because you know, it's something that I'm still exploring. Like, I do, I've always felt like I've had some unique gifts, like spiritual gifts, but I'm still exploring it, so I don't really want to kind of like call myself that yet.
But
I have this ability to kind of, I just know what's up with people, and I feel like I kind of just, I know exactly what they need to hear without even really knowing that's what I'm doing, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Okay, so let's try it. What do I need to hear?
Like, oh my God, putting you on the spot right
now. Yeah, man.
You're a fucking A+.
Nailed it. That is powerful. Like, I think being highly intuitive, I am also as well. Like, it's kind of actually like, you're like, if I say this, like, what does this mean? It's like, I don't want people to think I'm fucking weird, but also like, this is a thing, right? It's like, I have the same experience with clients. They're like, how did you know? Yeah. Like, what the fuck? You're like a mind reader. And I'm like, no, I don't know. I just have an intuitive sense, but that's really cool. I can see that for you. I see you, boo. I love that. Cool. Where can people find you on the gram, on website? Are you launching anything? Like, please share all the things.
So you can find me on Instagram at I am Emma Rawlinson. That's normally where I'll be hanging out. And then on there, you can subscribe to my mailing list. I'm not a spammer. I just do like once a week epic content. So you can find me there. In terms of what I'm launching, I just have spots open for one-to-one at the moment. So I have options for 3-month programs, which are more intense, deeper work. And then I also have 1-month programs, which is for a woman who kind of is already on the journey, but just needs an extra little bit of support in maybe like one particular area. That's what the 1-month program is for. And then 3 months is kind of full 360 approach to becoming the lead authority in your health and life. So yeah, for me, it's just working with one-to-one clients at the moment and focusing my attention on that.
So beautiful. You guys definitely head over to Emma's Instagram, check her out. She's a powerhouse. She's such a light. And yeah, I'm so excited that we were able to do this and make it happen. And I'm excited to hear kind of what comes of it from you guys. Like, please screenshot the episode, tag us. Emma's bio or link will be in the bio, so you can go find her and stalk her and follow her and give her all the love. Awesome. Well, I love you, girl. I hope you have an incredible week. I love you guys so much. Thank you so much for being here, for being on the podcast, and we will catch you next week. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you so much.